All right, we're going to continue in our series. We started a few weeks ago on Live Happy. We're looking in Matthew chapter 5 at the famous sermon of Jesus, one of the most famous sermons of Jesus. Most theologians agree today that this is the most famous and powerful sermon ever given, was the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus was given the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, talking about what things he's going to be covering in that sermon, he was talking about the Beatitudes and the things that we have called the Beatitudes. And we've been looking at these and taking our time and studying these things because the Word of God says, happy, blessed. Blessed are these who do these things. And we know the word blessed means what? It translates to happy. So happy are these people. So we're learning how to live happy according to Jesus' teaching, which is very radical when you look at it compared to what people really think and say. If Jesus hadn't said this, we would think this person is very crazy. You know, blessed, happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn, Pastor Matt, as you talked about last week. Did an awesome job last week. Didn't Pastor Matt did a great job speaking on happy are those who mourn. We talk about poor in spirit. That means those who are not just poor. We're not talking about a financial issue or those who are just struggling to go from job to job. But we're talking about the poor in spirit. It means those who are lost completely if no one stops and helps them. God, if you do not give me your spirit, God, if you do not do anything for me, God, I will perish. I am unable to take care of my spiritual needs on my own. But God, my spirit man is bankrupt without you. It is crippled without you. And so those who are poor in spirit realize that we are nothing without the Lord. And last week, as Pastor Matt taught, we're looking at those who mourn. Blessed, happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who mourn. We know that mourning comes when what? When there's a separation of things in our life, not only through relationship or through the passing of loved ones, but also we know that we are, it's all right to mourn. It's all right to mourn when things are being cut out of your life. But God says when you are cutting through the pain of dealing with loss, that he's going to be there to bring comfort to you. What is comfort? It is the Holy Spirit. So happy are those who go through change, who go through loss of people, who go through loss because he says, what? I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to comfort you. Now, this week we're going to talk about the thought, happy are the meek. Happy are the meek. How many want to be happy today? Raise your hand. That's me, Pastor. I want to be happy. All right. The rest of you, who doesn't want to be happy? Anybody here? I just want to see. Because some of you didn't raise your hand. So either you want to be happy or you don't want to be happy. So this is not, I know it's something you don't do good with multiple choice. And so let me just give you a simple way of taking this test. We all want to be happy, right? Okay, you pass. All right, there you go. We pass. We all want to be happy. And Jesus laid out the definition of happiness here in Matthew chapter 5. Our text today in verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What are some of the first words you think of when you hear the word meek? I mean, meek's not a word we really use in our everyday vocabulary, is it? It's not something you walk around going, that person's very meek, you know? I think the only time I use the word meek really is when I'm talking about going to maybe the hardware store down the street. I mean, really, you know, I don't use the word meek a lot in my vocabulary. I know you don't as well. What are some of the first thoughts that come to your mind when you think of the word meek? I mean, today we have a lot of thoughts that go through our head. I think the thoughts that go through our mind originally is mild-mannered, things like that, maybe weakness or soft-spoken, a pushover. We think of meek people as people who are very soft-spoken, who are very much a pushover. So let's answer a couple questions today as we talk about this message. What is meekness? What is meekness? First of all, let me declare that meekness is not weakness, okay? Let's say again. Meekness is not weakness. It doesn't mean you're a weak person because you are meek. And guys, today, I can tell you, ladies, you may not feel the same way, but I can tell you, any guy today that's hearing this message, when we talk about, all right, I need to be meek, it's not something we go like, amen, Pastor, I'm ready to be meek today, okay? Because it's just not something that's a very macho thing to do, okay? It doesn't fit into our manhood. It doesn't go into our man cave very good, okay? There's something about, you know, meekness isn't something we walk around, I'm very meek today, you know? We associate that, right, Greg? Right? We associate meekness with weakness, and really, it's really not what Scripture is saying here. It's not what Jesus had in mind, because the meek are not weak. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. The meek are very strong people. But what the meekness has is actually it translates in the Greek meaning that it's talking about here. It actually translates to strength under control. Meekness is people who have a lot of strength, a lot of power, but they've learned to control that power. They've learned to submit that power under control of God's lordship, of the Holy Spirit. Meekness is giving control to God. In the Greek culture, the word meek was often described to tame a wild animal. That when they would tame a wild animal, that they would use this word meek many times. As a matter of fact, you need to find it, translate and find some ties to where that we use for our word, we use for a bit. Like you put a bit in the horse's mouth to break it and to train it. But how many know this is because you have a bit in a horse's mouth, that what happens? That horse has still got a lot of power, doesn't it? But that bit allows the owner, allows the rider to control where that animal is going. It allows them to guide them, allows them to run, to walk, or turn left, turn right. But that horse still has a lot of power. The horse is not giving up its power to the owner. It's submitting to the power. You see, understand? It's not giving up its power. He's submitting to the power, allowing the owner, the person who's riding him, to take him where he wants to go. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying here. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to you and I. It's not giving up our power. It's saying, God, everything I have, all power belongs to you. It belongs to your lordship in my life. It belongs to the authority of the Holy Spirit. That I'm giving complete authority in my life to you. Jesus was the meekest person who ever lived. But he was not weak, was he? The very evident in Scripture, Jesus was a tough dude, man. Not only did he have a great mullet, but Jesus was very, very tough. Remember the time he walked through the temple and cleared out the temple with those who were trying to sell their sacrifices, and he overturned the money tables, and he was so upset, man. He wasn't nothing weak about that moment. He drove out that whole temple with himself. I mean, he was like, you know, he had an incredible Hulk moment there. It was just awesome. But was he meek? Yes, he was fully meek. I mean, I tell you what, to go through what he did on the cross, to walk the hill of Calvary with the flesh ripped off his bones and his whole back exposed, to take upon that cross upon his back and to carry it up Calvary. He wasn't a weak man at all, but he was very meek because he had complete power, but his power was submitted to his Heavenly Father. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. We see through Scripture where there's different people who use meekness in their life. We look at Joseph. Think about Joseph, the coat of many colors given to him by his dad. His dad really loved his youngest son, gave him the coat, and his older brothers were very jealous of him. So they threw him in a pit and sold him off to slavery. Remember that? And as they sold him off to slavery, he spent many years in the prison, falsely accused of crimes and things happening. And so he gets shipped off from being his father's favorite to being in the dungeon for year after year after year. But finally, God exalts him to a place of when he interprets the dreams. Remember that? And he gets into a place of second command of all the country. And there's a famine in the land, and all of his brothers come to him. And when his brothers come to him to receive food, he recognizes who they are, but they don't recognize him. And what did he do? He showed mercy on him. But he had power to say, you know what? These are the guys who lied against me. These are the guys who told my father I was dead. These are the guys who sold me off to slavery. These are the guys who made me spend the last 20 years in prison. I mean, these are the guys. He had full control. He could have had them put to death. He could have had them thrown in prison for the rest of their life. He could have had them whipped. I mean, he could have done all these things, but what did he do? He had all that power, and what did he use his power for? He used his power to bless them. See, that's meekness. He had full power over them. He had full rule over them, but yet he used his power for the good. Look at Moses' life. The Scripture talks about Moses at the age of 80 was a very meek person, but Moses wasn't always meek. At the age of 40, we've seen where he walked upon and seeing one of the Israelites being beaten and a slave being mistreated, and he was being beaten. And so Moses was so angry that he went and he beat that guy to death, man. He killed that soldier who was mistreating that slave. Moses had all the power, but yet he wasn't able to harness it. He wasn't able to give it complete submission. So God said, you're not quite ready to deliver my people yet. What, you go spend 40 years on the backside of the desert taking care of some stinking sheep for a while until we can get a little more meekness into your life, okay? And then, of course, we know that later on in life, he became a very meek person. We see different examples of this where people who had power were able to operate in meekness. David was a man who, young in his life, didn't have a lot of meekness in his life. Saul says, David, I'm going to give you my daughter. You've killed Goliath here, so I'm going to give you my daughter. But in order to get her, I want you to go out and give me kill 100 of our enemies, first of all. And David was so mad, he went out and he didn't kill 100 of his enemies. He killed 200 of his enemies. I said, how do you like those apples? I mean, David had all the power. He was a great warrior. But we see later on in David's life, when he was leaving the palace, it says that a man was there and he was throwing rocks at him and he was mocking David. And David just kind of shrugged him off. I mean, here's the warrior. Here's the guy that killed the lion, killed the bear, killed Goliath, had killed hundreds of men by himself. And there's a guy mocking him, throwing rocks. And David looks at him and like, whatever, dude. And keeps going. I mean, David had learned to walk in meekness. He had full power. He could have took that dude out in an instant. I'm sure he was still sharp at that sling. You know what he could have done? You know, he could have done anything he wanted to do. But he did not use that power for the abuse, but yet his power was submitted to the Godship in his life. I read the story of a Revolutionary War. There was a time when a civilian rode up on the horse, and he saw the corporal shouting out orders to his troops. They were trying to rebuild a wall that had been breached and been broken, so they're on this embankment trying to build the wall defense back up. And as he's shouting out orders, this guy walks up and says, hey, why aren't you helping these guys? He's like, I'm the corporal, and I'm giving them orders. And so the civilian gets out there and starts helping them because they're short-handed. They need to get this wall built up really fast. And so he gets out there, and he starts helping them rebuild this wall. When he gets done, he says, hey, dude. I imagine this is what he said to him, but we know this is what he said. He said, hey, corporal, anytime you're short-handed again, you holler at me, and I'll come help you rebuild any wall you need to rebuild. And the guy asks, who are you? He goes, I'm your commander-in-chief. George Washington. I mean, there was something about people who are meek, who have all the power, but yet know when to use it and know when to abuse it. Being meek doesn't mean you're a weak person, but you know how to use the power that God has given you. There's something beautiful to us when we see a person of great power under control, isn't it? Isn't it something? It's something we really admire when we see people who have great power in society and they use that power for good. People who use that under control. And there's something that really turns us off when we see people who have been blessed with a lot and take advantage of that and actually are people who do things wrong. That really turns us off, doesn't it? We're like, man, that person's been blessed with so much, but they treat people so bad. I think, you know, a great example of this recently just happened. I'm going to pick on him for a minute because he's not here. So let's pick on LeBron James. I mean, you know who LeBron James is, okay? We think about LeBron James, about how he was the most talented guy in the NBA. He has been heralded as, you know, his contract was coming due with his old team. He was going to be able to sign a new contract and go to any team he wanted to go to. And so he had all this power, all this money, you know, over $100 million, had all the endorsements he wanted. I mean, this guy was loaded. He had all the power. And the way he chose to leave one team and go to another team was so unmeek, wasn't it? The fact that he gets on public television and makes a big spectacle about it, you know, and doesn't even tell the ownership who's been his team has been with. He makes them wait, and then he announces it on public air. I'm leaving you, Cleveland. Ha ha! Bye, suckers. I'm going to Miami. I'm going to Miami. We're just all celebrating. What happened? The whole public turned against the guy. He was one of the favorites there was, but the whole public turned against him because they're like, what arrogance of a guy who's a multi-millionaire that he would take that path in making his change. There's something about that repels us, doesn't he? He began to lose endorsements, and now he's trying to rebuild his image. I mean, he's just a young guy. We'll forgive him. I know he'll get back there, but there was something about that, though, that just turned us off, didn't it? When someone has great power, and they use that power and abuse that power, instead of saying, hey, I've met with the ownership. Thank you very much for the last 5 years in Cleveland. You guys have been a great city. I want to go to a bigger market, make change. I'm going to be announcing tomorrow in our press conference. I'm leaving. Thank you. You know, Cleveland, very humbly, could have made that same transition, and they would have loved him forever. He'd have been, to this day, they'd have still been wearing his jerseys in Cleveland, but now they're burning them because it's simply the way he handled things. You see, there's a way of walking in power that God expects you and I to walk in meekness. Simple and truth. God expects you and I to walk in meekness. He says, happy are those who walk in meekness. When you walk around with power, trying to abuse your power, trying to use your power to dominate, God is turned off by that. People are turned off by that. And you'll be a very unhappy person. But happy are those who are meek. What produces meekness in our life? Let's answer that question. We know we're not born meek. It's not something we inherited. It's not a personality trait that we inherit. You know, we just don't have meekness. We're just not born with it. It's something that we obtain through a God-given gift that we're able to obtain to walk in meekness. Can an apple tree produce an orange? It just doesn't happen. We're just not wired to be meek people. It's something we got to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to produce out of us. Matter of fact, it is the Holy Spirit who produces meekness in us. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. Look what it says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. What else? Gentleness. Now, when you translate the word gentleness here in the scripture, you know what it translates to? Meekness. That's what it translates. So the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and the Spirit produces meekness. It produces gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. So we know it's the Holy Spirit who produces meekness in our life. Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus said this about himself. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle. It's where gentle here translates to meekness. Jesus described himself, and we don't see this a lot. Jesus didn't describe himself a lot in Scripture. So when he does, we can really take note of what he's saying about himself. And what Jesus said about himself, he says, I am humble and I am meek. I am gentle. Jesus called himself meek. He was describing his attributes that he is a meek person. 1 Peter 3:3, look what it says here. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel. Look what it says. It didn't say these things are wrong, did it? How many know there's nothing wrong with having your hair fixed, okay? Some of you need to take a little more time on Sunday morning to fix your hair, okay? My wife told me, she goes, every barn needs a little bit of paint once in a while, right? So there's nothing wrong with wearing makeup. There's nothing wrong with wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. That's not what he's talking about here. This scripture has been twisted around many times to mean other things. He says, there's nothing wrong with these things. But he says, don't let this thing be the focus. He says, rather let the focus be on the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a what? A gentle, a meek, and quiet spirit, which is the very precious in the sight of God. What's precious to the Lord? You find out what does God like? That's a good question. What is God like? What are the things that please the Lord? This is one of the statements in the scripture we see. This is how we please the Lord, is that when we walk in a meek and quiet spirit, these things please the Lord. It doesn't mean we walk around weak, because Jesus said he was not weak, but he was meek. There's very much a difference. I mean, walk around in a meek spirit, that we're walking around saying, God, the Holy Spirit is in control of my life. I'm submitting to the control of the Holy Spirit. So what produces meekness? When you allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your actions and your reactions, that's meekness. It produces happiness. Let me say it again. When you allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life, it produces happiness in your life. It's meekness. Let's answer this last question. What does meekness produce? What does meekness produce in our life? Well, we just read it at the end of that verse. Is that they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What's this mean? This word inherit, as we study it out, it means two things. First of all, you think of inherit the earth. First of all, we know it means to, obviously, inherit means to take hold of, possession of something given to you. But this particular meaning, when you go back and study it out in the original Greek and Hebrew, we look at the original meaning of this word, it actually means to have dominion over. So it's not just a possession of, but it's actually a dominion over, a power over. So we see that the word earth here, when it translates as well, they shall have dominion over the earth. The word earth, when you translate it out of Scripture, according to this verse right here, and look what the original meaning means as well. You're learning things here. Earth means dirt. Isn't that good? You shall inherit dirt. Some of you are like, thank you very much. I got enough dirt. I want something else. How about a little more blessings, Lord? I don't want that dirt. And the word dirt, as we see, it actually translates the word dust as well. So you should have dominion over dirt. Aren't you excited? Come on. That's exciting news. You have dominion over dirt and over dust. It doesn't get you very excited, does it? It doesn't get me very excited when I think about it in that context. But when you think about it in the spiritual context, remember how I told you that everything in Scripture has a double meaning, that we see the literal meaning, that we also see a spiritual context that goes along with that. And so when he says we shall have dominion and inherit the earth, he's talking about, not only is he talking about a earthly heaven that's going to come, the heaven upon earth when the second coming of Christ comes, that we're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Not only is he talking about that earth, that earthly kingdom, the new heaven and new earth, that's going to happen at the end of time. So we know he's not talking about just that, but do we know that in Scripture, in Genesis 2, it says that God formed man out of the what? Out of the dust of the earth. What it simply means is that God actually took, grabbed the dust of the earth, says he blew into it and formed man with the breath of his nostrils and the dust of the earth. He formed you and I. Now, let's think about that whole translation now. Now, let's go back and look at this verse again, because now you're going to get excited. Let's look at the original verse again. Blessed, happy are the meek, the gentle, those who give what? Control to the Holy Spirit in their life, who have given their power control. Blessed are those who give control. For they shall inherit, have dominion over the earth. What does the earth represent? Dust, the dirt. We are formed. So we can now look at it and translate it this way. I think you'll get excited when you look at the translation this way. Happy. Can you bring the next one up, guys? Happy. Happy are those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Now we can understand that. This meek stuff doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It sounds weak, but when I translate it out and look at the Scripture, this is what it's saying. I can have joy. I can walk in happiness when I allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of my spirit, when I allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of what I'm going through in my life, and I shall have dominion. He's given me power. When I do that, when I submit my power to his lordship, that he gives me power and dominion over my flesh. Wow. Now you can get excited. Now you can be happy. Because God says, blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are gentle. Because he shall give us power through the Holy Spirit, dominion over our flesh. Look what Psalms 37:11 says about the meek. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Once again, it says it again. The meek shall have dominion over the earth. And they shall delight themselves in what? In the abundance of peace. So how do I live happy? When I live a meek life, I'm giving control up. I inherit the earth. I have dominion over my flesh. Then I shall delight myself in a what? An abundance of peace. Some of you here today, you haven't walked in peace in a long time in your life. You haven't walked in happiness. You haven't walked in peace. You get up, your life's in turmoil. You get up and you're a nervous wreck. You're worrying about things all the time. And today, this scripture, this thought, that the meek shall inherit the earth should really speak to you, because it says, God, I'm giving up my power to your power. And then when you do that, you realize just how big our God really is. When you realize just how big our God really is in our life, that we're giving up power to him. We're giving up control to him. God, I'm giving up my control to your control. God, I'm giving up my power to your power. God, I'm allowing you to take who I am and take me where you want to take me. God, you use it, God. I'm submitting to your lordship in my life. And when I do that, you're giving me dominion now over my flesh. And I can walk in an abundance of peace. Because when I get up tomorrow morning, I know this, no matter what kind of bill comes in the mail, no matter what kind of news I may get, no matter what happens, I know that my God is bigger than anything I'll go through in my life. He will sustain me through any change. He will calm me through any storm. He was meek. All the disciples are upstairs worried about the storm. He was asleep in the bottom of the boat. Why? Because he knew who was in charge. He knew his Father was in charge. Jesus knew his Father was in charge. The rest of his disciples are upstairs. We're going to die. Storms are tossing us around. And they had to go wake Jesus up. He wouldn't even wake up. What's going on? Why? Because he was meek. Full of meekness. Full of his power, the Holy Spirit in his life. Knowing that his God was going to take care of him. His Father had a plan for his life. You and I can walk in that same gentleness. We can walk in that same spirit in our life when we say, God, I'm giving up full control to you. Now, today's musicians come. Can I just be honest with you a minute? How many want me to be honest? Can I just be honest? Okay. Yeah, of course, you want me to be honest. I fail many times at this in my life. Many times I failed this. I thank the Lord that I'm doing a lot better. And over the years, he's helped me grow and learn to be a meek person. But there's times I still fail. There's times I still want to be in control and take power in my own hands. But I'm learning more and more each year. I'm learning more and more as I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. That it's through me giving up the power in my life to him that he's in full control. And then he does great things in my life. Today, I want you just to bow your heads where you're at. I want to simply ask you a couple of questions today. First of all, I want to ask all those who are here. No one's looking around but me, and we will not embarrass you in any way at all. But we just want to make sure you have a chance today. If you're here, say, Pastor, as you're talking about giving up control of your life to God, today I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today is my day. I need to make sure I'm right with God. I want to accept his forgiveness on the cross. I want to accept what he's done. And I want to learn to live for him. Today, I'm ready to just tell him that. I'm ready to make a life-changing decision to follow after Christ. Nobody's looking but me. You say, Pastor, I've never prayed that prayer before. But today, I'm ready to make that decision. Can you just raise your hand where you're at? Let me know it's you today. You're ready to make that decision. Can you raise your hand? Let me see it. Make sure I can see it. I want you all to look at me right now. I'm going to invite you to stand up where you're at this morning. How many know there's something about submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Some of you here, you've been wondering why you don't have any peace in your life. You've been wondering why you're walking around unhappy. Some of you wonder why you're walking around in fear. I know God has given me a spirit of fear, but yet I wake up and I'm fearful. That's all right. Are you the only one here? No, there's several around us, people around us. You know what? When they wake up tomorrow, they're going to wake up in fear. How do I get past that? Learning to be a meek person. Learning to give control to the Lord. Learning to submit to his Lordship. God, I'm giving you all power. You're giving you all control. Because what you're doing is taking the burden from you and saying, God, I can't carry it any longer. I give it to you. Matter of fact, Scripture teaches us that. It says, cast all of our cares upon the Lord. For he cares for us. That's what he's waiting for you to do. All of us here, we've been carrying around these things that are heavy, carrying around fears, carrying around anxiety, carrying around things we're struggling with. And he's saying, I'm just here. I'm ready to carry it. But you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. This morning, we're going to sing to the Lord. As we do, how many of you today say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in meekness. Anybody here say, I'm ready to walk in meekness today? Yeah. Just being honest with each other. I'm ready to walk in a greater level of meekness in my life. I know you are as well. As we do that today, we know that God is going to give us not a spirit of fear, but he's going to give us an abundance of peace. He's going to give you a new happiness because you can quit walking in fear when you give thanks to the Lord. Say, God, you're in control. today with your hands raised, let me pray. Father, right now we pray, Lord, that we would walk in meekness, God. We would walk in giving up our power to your power, God. We're not weak people, but God, we're meek people who walk in a gentle spirit. Because when we take upon the Spirit of Christ, it allows us to walk in a gentler spirit. It allows us to walk in a kinder spirit. It allows us to show mercy. It allows us, Father, to use what you've given us for good. Not for gloating, not for our power struggle, but God, today we give everything, all glory to you. God, we give everything to you today. And Father, we pray that we would take upon the spirit of meekness in our life, that we can walk blessed, we can walk happy. Father, knowing that you are replacing our spirit of selfishness, our spirit of self-control, and God, you're replacing in us a new heart, a clean heart, a heart that walks in a meek spirit. And Father, we thank you today. God, your word is coming alive in our heart and is changing the way we think, is changing the way we act, is changing the way we talk, is changing the way we walk. Because God, you are stronger. Sin has been broken and we are free from all past sin. We are free from bondage. We are free from habits. Today, Father, you are setting your people free with a new spirit, a new heart. We thank you today. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss next week. Don't miss next week. It's going to be good. I mean, listen, before you leave real fast, I want you to stand there. Come here, TJ, where you at? How many of you guys today think that someone who plays for the MIAA Conference Championship can close us out in prayer? Think we do that? Okay. Riding high for the big championship game this way. You guys won the conference, first time in 10 years. We're proud of you, TJ, and all the players out there. Close us out in prayer today.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for just being with us this morning, God. We thank you, God, for the learning, God, of being meek, God, and self-control, God, and being humble, God, in your presence, God. We ask that this be instilled in our hearts, God, in our minds, God, and our souls, God, and we can continue to grow in our relationship with you, Father. We ask that you humbly, God, continue to reach down into our spirits, God, and touch us, God. Touch us from head to toe, God, and we will always bless your name, God, and give your name praise. In Jesus' name, amen.